silence poured from the heavy woodwork. But unlike the silence that had the rest of the city under its thrall, this was a watchful, alert silence. It was the silence of a sleeping cat that had just opened one eye. When he could no longer bear it, Spelter dropped to his hands and knees and tried to peer under the doors. Finally, he put his mouth as close as he could to the draughty, dusty gap under the bottomest hinge and whispered,
"I say, can you hear me?"
He felt sure that something moved, far back in the darkness. He tried again, his mood swinging between terror and hope with every erratic thump of his heart.
"I say, it's me, Spelter, you know? Could you speak to me, please?"
Perhaps large leathery feet were creeping gently across the floor in there, or maybe it was only the creaking of Spelter's nerves. He tried to swallow away the dryness in his throat and had another go.
"Look, all right, but look, they're talking about shutting the library."
The silence grew louder. The sleeping cat had cocked an ear.
"What is happening is all wrong,"
the bursar confided, and clapped his hand over his mouth at the enormity of what he'd said.
"Ooh?"
It was the faintest of noises, like the eructation of cockroaches. Suddenly emboldened, Spelter pressed his lips closer to the crack.
"Have you got the, patrician in there?"
"Ook."
"What about the little doggie?"
"Ook."
"Oh, good."
Spelter lay full length in the comfort of the night and drummed his fingers on the chilly floor.
"You wouldn't care to, let me in too?"
he ventured.
"Ook."
Spelter made a face in the gloom. "Well, would you let me come in for a few minutes? We need to discuss something urgently, man to man."
"Ook."
"I mean, ape."
"Ook."
"Look, won't you come out then?"
"Ook."
Spelter sighed. "This show of loyalty is all very well, but you'll starve in there."
"Ook, ook."
"What other way in?"
"Ook."
"Oh, have it your own way." Spelter sighed, but somehow he felt better for the conversation. Everyone else in the university seemed to be living in a dream, whereas the librarian wanted nothing more in the whole world than soft fruit, a regular supply of index cards, and the opportunity every month or so to hop over the wall of the patrician's private menagerie. No one had ever had the courage to ask him what he did there. It was strangely reassuring. "So you're all right for bananas and so forth?" he inquired after another pause.
"Ook."
"Don't let anyone in, will you? I think that's frightfully important."
"Ook."
"Good."
Spelter stood up and dusted off his knees. Then he put his mouth to the keyhole and added,
"Don't trust anyone."
"Ook."
It was not completely dark in the library, because the serried rows of magical books gave off a faint octarine glow caused by thaumaturgical leakage into the strong occult field. It was just bright enough to illuminate the pile of shelves wedged against the door. The former patrician had been carefully decanted into a jar on the librarian's desk. The librarian himself sat under it, wrapped in his blanket and holding waffles on his lap. Occasionally, he would eat a banana. Spelter, meanwhile, limped back along the echoing passages of the university, heading for the security of his bedroom. It was because his ears were nervously straining the tiniest sounds out of the air that he heard, right on the cusp of audibility, the sobbing. It wasn't a normal noise up here. In the carpeted corridors of the senior wizard's quarters, there were a number of sounds you might hear late at night, such as snoring, the gentle clinking of glasses, tuneless singing, and once in a while the zip and sizzle of a spell gone wrong. But the sound of someone quietly crying was such a novelty that Spelter found himself edging down the passage that led to the Arch-Chancellor's suite. The door was ajar. Telling himself that he really shouldn't, tensing himself for a hurried dash, Spelter peered inside. Rincewind stared.
"What is it?" he whispered.
"I think it's a temple of some sort," said Kanina. Rincewind stood and gazed upwards, the crowds of Al-Khali bouncing off and around him in a kind of human Brownian motion. A temple, he thought. Well, it was big, and it was impressive, and the architect had used every trick in the book to make it look even bigger and even more impressive than it was, and to impress upon everyone looking at it that they, on the other hand, were very